OFC Podcast Radio.
Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio, where every beat, every word, and every laugh is a celebration of our journey. Join Gina the Great, your joy curator, Farrah Hammond Freeman, the head honcho, and me, Queen Kaya, your soul sister. Stay tuned for a dose of melanated excellence right here on OFC Podcast Radio. But before we do anything else, we're going to bless our show and the kings and queens listening.
Oh, blessed, melanated, rising, my people. I am so grateful to life. I'm grateful to God, our creator, and I'm grateful to our ancestors for creating another opportunity for us to be able to get together today. And I just ask that today's show, let it be fun, let it be entertaining, let it be inspiring, let it be uplifting, let it be educational, but most importantly, let it be empowering to each and every one of our listeners out there as we send out that spirit of love, that spirit of light, that spirit of unity, strength, great health, wealth, and peace. Hotep. Amen. Ashe. Aibobo.
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
Yeah, Gina the Great. How's your week been?
You know, I've had a decent week. I will say it's been a productive week. Nothing fancy or fun. I mean, I got new curtains. Whoopies.
I feel like in this adulthood,
it is a turn up. except for when you ran to one spot, got the wrong size. Got the wrong length. And when it was so funny because when I put it up, which is not really fun to do, I always have to get out the step ladder for this one because I have high ceilings and stuff. And when it ends where it looks like, you know, when your pants are too short, that's what it gave. I was like, wow. Wow. Okay.
You didn't have the option to maybe lower it and give more clearance on the top, bring it to the bottom. You know?
If I had originally put it a little lower, it might have been fine. But it's where it's at, and I promise you, I'm not moving it because I don't think you understand the manpower that it took, the manpower and sweat that it took to put it up in the first place.
Right.
Because these new builds, the what's that called again? Like when you have the wood, the beams.
Right, yeah.
Not wooden beams anymore. Everything's metal.
Oh.
So you have to drill through it. You got to put your hole back into it.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it. Our uncle came and he helped me put that one up. And then thankfully, my two other uncles put the one in my room up because I was like, whatever. Everyone gets a show when I wake up. I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it before. I know my strengths and home improvement stuff,
mm-hmm.
I do not enjoy doing that.
Word.
In a sense of putting things up, building them up and all that, I have no interest. Kudos to all of you guys where that is your dada. Mm-hmm. I wish it was mine. I'm not here for that. Like setting up all kinds of other things and building things up. I put up my whole IKEA kitchen. I can do that stuff. The drilling things into walls, like making sure things are straight, painting that stuff, I want no parts.
Don't call me.
Because one, if it has a slight crookedness, it's going to drive me nuts.
Yeah, I'm super OCD with that too.
And so when I have 10 to do it, it's not leveled. And that drives me nuts. So at this point, I'm just kind of like, nope. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses.
Amen.
The other thing too was, why was it 3:30 on Sunday when I realized that the time went back?
Yo, can we stop with this time going back? Nonsense. Where did we vote against this?
I don't know. I thought that was already on the docket.
Me too. Me too. And when they announced it, I was like, really? I was like, we're still doing this? I thought that was finished.
And you're saying announced, like, I don't know who announced it.
Me neither. But I'm sure I heard it.
When they did, because I was in my car and I was like, oh shoot, because I have to go bring back these curtains to them. And I'm like, yo, I got 27 minutes and I'm tripping. And then I turn, I look at my watch. I'm like, because it's an Apple Watch. I'm like, why does this say 3:30? But my car says 4. You got to be kidding me. The whole day passed. The whole day passed before I realized that the time changed, and which is great because that meant I didn't have to rush. Well, I could reduce the rush because I was rushing so much. By the time I got there, I was sweating. I did gain a whole hour without realizing it, all things considered. But yeah, no, that was it. And then the other thing that happened this week was just so I don't remember if I told you guys about like just mashing up my knee since like May and thinking that it was all right and just trying to go do things like I'm 20.
Yeah, I
And
get you every time.
yeah, I did the one hike, it was okay. I did another hike, it was not okay. The call was coming from inside of the house, and inside of the house being my body said, "What are you doing? Like, you think that you're gonna like I let you do that one hike in the first place, and I didn't like, all right, I gave you a bligh, but now you're broken.
You've
Enjoy."
gone too far. You've gone too far.
100%. And then my uncle's been helping me out, and he's my accountability partner right now too. So we did a virtual workout, and he came yesterday. We boxed and stuff, which another thing too, like when you box with someone one-on-one who does this, who's done this, and they're like, "Hey, has this been your stance the whole time?" And you're like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, no." And when you realize that you've just been boxing in a stance, but you're like standing straight as opposed to like having that give on your knee and your bend.
Right.
That's a whole other workout in and of itself.
Oh, so like
And
one leg forward, one leg backwards, a little like.
no, I'm all that's always the stance. It's always supposed to be the stance. It's all like the it is your well, if you're right-handed, it's left foot forward, right foot back. And you're supposed to make yourself a smaller target. So it's less about, anyways, there's a lot of that to it. But in for your agility to it, it's not standing straight in that stance, is you're supposed to have a bit of a bend in your knee. So that gives you agility and your ability to have a proper stability and get back into your position after a reaction and all these things. But
Right.
if you're not used to that stance, you're basically asking me to box with you while I've not that I'm doing a full squat, but it feels like I'm squatting the whole.
I might as well have been doing a full squat.
I might as well have been, right? Especially with how my knees are feeling now. But anyway, all that to say, it's been a great week. He also verbally buffed me because I don't ice after like I didn't ice after the hike, and when my whole body was hurting, especially my knees. He's like, so you're related to a bunch of athletes and you didn't think that you didn't do the bare minimum of icing?" I was like,
The bare
"Uh-huh."
minimum.
And the ice pack that you left in my freezer, the one you left there for this exact reason and occasion. Okay. So I did that, and it's funny. In 2 days, I've felt a better recovery on my knees than I have in the last, what is May now? May 5, 6 months at this point.
Wow.
So, moral of the story, you're not 20 anymore, A, and B, when you're in pain, seek out professional help. Like I could have told my doctor about this before and maybe done physio, but also like if you know people that, are athletic and are athletes and know how to do this recovery, just ask them for help. Because I could have avoided 6 months of, and again, I'm not back to my best self, or at least fighting. I have what is it? Fighting shape or whatnot. Or again, my knee's not fully recovered, but again, this is the first sign of relief that I've gotten in 6 months. So,
Yo, well, amen to that. Amen to the bit of relief. Well, my siblings crack a joke with me all the time where they're like, when they're tired, they don't count sheep. They count the amount of things that I do in a day. And that's enough. They get tired. They're gonna see. I find it so funny, but it's not that funny. Okay. This last week, I don't know what it's just everything's happening, like everything at the same time. Where I'm just like, how's everything happening at the same time all the time? But I have to say I give thanks. I have a whole laundry list of things that happened this week. I'm trying to figure out where to start, but I'll start off just by I'm gonna start by just giving thanks, okay? You guys know how I get down. I always like to give thanks. I was working on a grant of community organizations out there. You guys know the Big Ideas Grant was out. I think by the time you guys hear this, I think it would have been due. I've lost track of days and time, but the point is I grinded, got this grant in. And I'm sharing this because I'm the type of person that I like being on the ground. I like getting my hands dirty. I like engaging with the community. I like when people like, you know, I just, that's my stick, you know, that's my thing, like just engaging. When I have to stop answering my phone and stop responding to people and kind of close myself in the office to do a grant or work on a proposal or you know, review reports or draft reports, that's like torture. That is, to me, the hardest thing to get done as a person in my position. But I do it because it's important. I do it because these grants, when they do come in, it does help us to be able to bring the things forward. And so my reminder to myself is that, yes, we have to do, sometimes you got to do what you have to do so you could do what you want to do. And this is where we are right now as a people. And I'm going to transition from that awesomeness, you know, yay, was able to get this grant out, to talking about the verdict. And I say verdict, like the case is not anywhere close to being done, but the woman, Stephanie, I can't remember her last name, woman who decided to pour the hot water on the 10-year-old child, she got bail.
They allowed her to, because her bail was denied originally, no?
Her bail was denied originally. Well, not even bail denied. They actually just let her out with no nothing.
Correct. Right?
Well, so she didn't. They're just like, yeah, not that bad. Go ahead. Go about your business. Live your life. Then because of the community, and shout out to the Red Coalition who took an opportunity to go at that, they rearrested her, but now they gave her bail. So she's out until like January. And the Red Coalition put out another letter, again, to the police and to the mayor's office, because it's still, as the way it was insulting the first time, it's just as insulting the second time. And now when you find out more, you come to find out that this is not her first offense. She's done this before.
Well, the first insult was arresting her and releasing her and not taking this case on. That's outrageous. It's entirely outrageous. But playing devil's advocate, not for her, but the fact of bail, you're allocated or you're granted the ability to have bail if you're not considered a flight risk. It's not even whether or not you're a danger to society, to be honest. Cause
really?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more on flight risk, because then that's the thing too about bail, right? You end up having, and believe me, I know this for reasons that I rather not, but it's more about you having assurities and like putting assets up for that to make sure that that person shows up for their hearing.
Wow.
Also to note is that someone staying in jail while they're awaiting trial, that's your tax dollars.
Well, I would have opted to pay for that.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear what you would have opted for. But the government is not supposed to, the government has to work, is supposed to work for the collective voice of things. And so when they evaluate that, is this person is going to be a burden on the cost of the tax dollars? We may as well put up their assets, have collaterals, and make sure that they show up when they're supposed to for when their court date comes about. So I don't see bail as a loss in the case. That's just how bail works.
Yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flavor, Public Enemy. And you're listening to CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
Well, let me ask you, in your opinion, from the experience that you had that you wish you didn't, like for something like this where a woman, you know, pours hot water on a child, second degree burns, what would be a reasonable bail then? Like what? Like
for... Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Did they announce what her bail was?
$2,000.
Yeah.
That's not disrespect. That's not like get on a
Oh,
jail
I
free
thought you were gonna
card.
say her getting bail was disrespect. Oh, the amount of bail. I
Both.
didn't let you finish, eh? My bad. I didn't even let you finish when you were talking about it.
Yeah, both. I find both is
I mean
insulting.
that I mean it really just depends because yeah it is insulting when you're looking at the gravity of the assault, to be honest, but that is up to the judge or the judge or the prosecutor or whatever, however they discuss it in terms of, well, the prosecutor usually would ask for an amount and then the judge will decide what that amount is. 2000 could be yes, I think 2000 2000 is or isn't laughable, to be honest. In my past situation, like in my past experience, like it was 5 grand,
That's
and
what I'm
like
saying. Like you
no,
get five.
but between 2 and 5, to be honest, is that that's not it doesn't it's not much of a difference.
Yo, I would prefer to see five than two, but I'm just saying I don't want to harp on it too much. I'm just saying it is something where it kind of knocks the wind out of you when it's like you're advocating. You want to see something different for your people. You want to think that the society is evolving and the system actually cares. But then you get this, all right? And you get this kind of blatant disrespect. And I'm sorry, I hate to speculate and I hate to say if the tables were turned, but that's all I could say in this scenario, because everybody knows if the scenario was different and it was a black man that poured water on a young white girl, that it would be different, right? The scenario would be different. People, like the fact that we barely even know what this woman looks like. Like if the situation was changed, you would be seeing this criminal's face everywhere. All they keep doing is re-tormenting us as a people by continuously showing the victim, the child burnt up. That's what they keep putting in our face instead of showing the woman's face and be like, watch out for this woman. She is out on bail and this is what she did. This woman attacked this little boy like you would have normally seen in other scenarios. In our scenario, all we do is, like, what we get is basically they continue to traumatize us regularly by showing us our victims, our little boy damaged while they protect this woman. In my opinion, I do think it is a time that we organize as a community and start getting more on the what I call offense. Not to be offensive, like we're attacking the system, but I'm just tired of us being on defense all the time, being reactive. And I would really love for the people out there who want to see something change really come together and say, yo, what is it going to take for us to change the system? Like, can we be inspired by the Black Panthers? Maybe can we be inspired by Garvey? Can we be inspired by Malcolm X? Even Martin Luther King, like, where it's like, you know what, enough is enough, because no one is going to do it for us. No one's coming to rescue us. No one is like, this is it. We're here and it's for us to now do what we have to do. I'm not even a person who's really into politics like this, but if we need to organize ourselves politically to show that, you know what, we do actually have some influence. We are able to mobilize. We are able to bring our bodies together. And we say, look, if things don't change, we're going to do X, Y, Z. I'm down. If we have to organize people and say, let's just pool our capital together. I'm just going to call any corporation, any business out there and just say, look, you know what? Until we get what we want, no one is shopping at X, Y, Z store, grocery store, gas station, whatever. And we're using our influence to basically collapse these companies, collapse these businesses until we get what we want. And if they don't comply, we're going to continue. We're like dominoes. We're going to start listing companies. I mean, like, we're taking you guys out until you guys make sure that our people are protected. We're going to stop all energy from going to your locations until they dry up and die. So figure out on your guys' end who you need to talk to on different levels of government, on different levels of city hall, on different levels of the police, public security, and figure it out so that our people aren't going through this anymore. Like, to me, that's what I like to see. Am I being crazy, Gina? Am I being crazy?
No, but I'm sorry, because I'm getting up to date with this. And like, I want people to understand too, is that especially when I said playing devil's advocate for the bail, I this enrages me entirely, but I also have like, I come from a space of like, yo, say when and where, and in my adulthood, I know like to not be reactive to things, And I also do believe in karma, and so I do let things fall where they should. And I also understand my role in all that. Some of us are soldiers, and some of us are strategists, right? And so there's a bit of that in there, and there's some of us who are just who have other purposes. But it is mentioned that in her bail, she has to live with her son. Her lease was canceled, so she got kicked out of her home, and she did lose her job as she was a helper's aide, a dead soignante. She was she was in the healthcare system basically. Like she was basically supposed to be a caregiver. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. She's a caregiver. How are you a caregiver? How? Houseway.
Easy, because you know those
Yeah.
complaints you get from the industry now with these caregivers
Absolutely.
doing all kind of debaucheries to people. I'm sure she has some warnings. Sorry, I hate to say that. Okay, I don't know if she has warnings. Okay, I'm just saying.
Well,
It's...
you said that this wasn't her first offense.
Yeah.
What was the other offense?
So basically, hold on, I'm gonna pull it up. And the reason I say this is because so the Red Coalition, shout out to Joel. They put out the letter. Actually, I just forwarded it to you as well. They put out the letter outlining why it was atrocious that she got bail. And in there is where they specified. And anybody who's interested, who's tuning in, and you haven't gotten it, and you'd like to, just reach out, connect with the OFC, send an email to support@ofccommunity.com. Say you'd like the information, you like the letter, and I will forward it to you. But it was the offense was within the same, I don't want to say vein, but it was something similar to what she's done now. So that's why it's like this is technically her second offense. So for it's like, and again,
And that's why I do think that the severity needs to be worse, because when you've done something before and you've gotten a slap on the wrist and then you're just like, ah, that was soft. I'll just do this again when I want to and I'll just get another slap. Like the precedent is wild.
yeah, because the thing is, it's like what they're saying is that she felt like she was harassed, like she's being harassed and yada da. And in my mind, it's like, yeah,
I'm
but
not concerned with her feelings. Feelings, feelings
I
like
don't care
that.
about how you felt because it's like how do you justify? It's like, yo, my neighbor was bothering me. I drove my car, slammed into him. Yo, sorry, man. He's frustrating me.
Yeah, no,
What?
feelings are not facts. That's just what it
That's just
is.
how you feel. The fact is you poured hot water on this child. That's the fact. Like how you felt is good for your business, but no one cares. But anyways, like I said, my goal is it's really like I want to plant a seed to all my beautiful people out there and just say, guys, let me know when you have had enough, when you are ready to do something different. I invite you all to participate and get involved within the OFC community. We are here looking to build together for our future, because it's like if we don't come together and do it, no one else is doing it for us, man. And it's like, guys, it's like something's got to give, you know, like something's really got to give. And I guess I'll transition as we're preparing to close out. We have an amazing guest that's going to be with us, or yeah, that's with us today. We have the one and only Dr. Joan Samuel Dennis, you know, from the Healing Journey and from the Becoming Institute. So we're going to be talking mental health and what she some of the practices that she's doing and what her institution is offering for people in the community who do want to get involved, you know, either who want to heal or who are looking to get involved in the industry. So I'm excited for that. But before we transition, I had a testimony work experience that I guess I'll use as a teachable moment where I'm getting ready to leave from the retreat. We had an amazing day of just, you know, just getting the spot ready for the winter and whatnot. And I'm getting in the car, getting in the driver's seat. And you know when you have that feeling like you pulled a muscle, so you kind of like you're kind of frozen where your muscle is pulled, where you're like almost like if you're getting a cramp in your leg or like a Charlie horse, like where you're like like you want to stay in a certain position. Now I start getting this feeling in my foot, right? The same type of cramping feeling, but it's weird because it's like one, it's like in my foot, and it's not as aggressive as a cramp, but uncomfortable enough to get my attention. Where I'm like, yo, what is happening to my foot? So, and my wife is like, well, do you need to stretch? You want me to drive? And I'm like, no. I need to figure out what's going on with my foot. I'm like, this feels weird. So now I'm looking and I'm like, yo, like my foot now is literally like Like my leg is stretched. I have the driver's door is open. My foot's like on the window, the edge of the window there. Like the window's down. My foot's right there on the edge. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, this discomfort is crazy. I'm like, yo, spirit, what is going on? I say it just like that. When I catch myself two twos, I'm like, yo, I'm wearing the wrong shoes. I'm like, yeah, I'm wearing shoes that are from the retreat, and these are not the shoes I came with. And I'm about to leave with the wrong shoes. And I stand up. Pain gone completely. And I'm like, ah, I'm like, spirit, you're just bringing attention to the fact I'm wearing the wrong shoes. I'm like, yeah, I kid you not, gone. I was able to crack good jokes with the spirit, go inside, change my shoes, and I actually realized that I forgot the shop back. Anyways, it was a two for one. And I'm like, yeah.
Twofer,
And I'm like, yo, you know what, spirit, man? I'm so grateful for the relationship that I have with you. And it brought this whole like good feel good feeling. And you guys know I love you all in terms of people in the community, and I only want the best for my people. And when I say people, I mean humanity in general. I want you all to live your best life. And I know as much as I breathe that until you guys remember what you are and your connection to yourself on a non-physical self, or you're on a non-physical side, you're not really going to be able to live your fullest experience because you're only living it. It's almost as if we're, as society, we're living it in 2D, or like we're living in almost like 1D, where life is 3D or 4D. And so you cannot get a full experience until you actually connect with both sides. And I don't know if it was you I was telling this story to, or who was shy, but it was like I was painting the scenario, and I was like, yo, imagine, like, all right, Gina, give me what if you could travel to anywhere in the world, anywhere, but the flight is super expensive, everything there is super expensive, where would it be?
if I could fly somewhere, but everything's super expensive.
Super, like, yes, super expensive, high-end, super high-end, seven star plus.
I don't know, because to me, on some level, that can and could have been Japan, but I'm going to Japan in April, so
Right, so
happening.
no, but you know what? Actually, Japan's the great example because you really want to go to Japan, right?
Yeah, mint.
And it's super expensive. All right,
Like,
so
I
no,
really
Japan's
want
a
to
great
go, and
example.
I am going. Like,
You're
there's,
going. You
yeah,
go.
it's happening.
Oh, it's a perfect example. So you are going. So picture now, you save up your money, you do everything you have to do. Now, in this particular case, it's not like going to Africa where you need to get a bunch of shots from what I know, right? Like it says you don't do all that. But let's say you do every single thing you need to do, right? To go on this trip. And you say, you know what? I'm gonna bring my BFF on the trip, covering the cost, everything. Your BFF is rolling with you, okay? You get to the hotel, like, and you have this amazing itinerary set up, planned. You're gonna do all these things, and you know how you are, Gina. Super, like you set it up. You're doing this. You're going there. The people are waiting for you. The whole nine. You set up the entire trip. You're like, yo, you're gonna roll. Get to the hotel. Next day, you're getting ready to leave. Your BFF is gone. You're locked into the room. They're gone with. Like you are trapped in the room. They're able to lock you into the room. You're trapped in the room and they're gone living your vacation. Right. It's now that good face. You see your face like, how's that?
Yeah,
How's
I'm
that?
like, how did we get here?
How we get here, Sway? What happened? What we I planned this whole trip. I brought you on the trip. All of a sudden, I'm trapped in this room. You are here living my trip. Like you out here living
You
my
better not
trip.
leave me with the Wi-Fi, because guess what's getting canceled? All kinds of things. And matter of fact, I'm even gonna cancel hotel I'm in, so then they have to come unlock the door to let me out. They'll be like, ma'am, you gotta check out. I've been here waiting.
Trying to leave. No, so but I want to paint a scenario that just so you can really understand how crazy this is. Now let's actually talk about our real life, right? You are a non-physical entity. You're a spirit. You set up yourself to come into physical life experience. You map out what your life is going to be like. And you're like, yo, I'm going to jump into this body and we're going to do all these dope things that I have set up. And then you come into life and your body is like, it's just me. I'm gonna run the show how I wanna run the show. I'm gonna do my own thing. And you're like, but I set up so much stuff. But there's so many things for us to do. And wait, but why are you going in this direction? Why are you saying that? Why are you doing this? Why are we working this job? What are we doing? Why are we eating these things? And the only thing your genuine self could do from the inside is make you feel bad. It's like the only thing I have at my disposal is your feelings. So I'm gonna make you feel bad. But we're now at a point where we've been conditioned and we're in such a far off space that we've actually gotten accustomed to not feeling good. We actually think feeling it's normal. So many people are accustomed to not feeling good, not realizing that that is your inside telling you, yo, stop the way you're thinking, stop what you're doing, stop where you're going, stop what you're saying, because everything you're doing is counter what we came to do here on the planet, and you're impacting yourself negatively. So it might sound crazy and far-fetched, beautiful people, but I kid you not. And it's funny because when you look back at some of these stories of the Bible and you understand when they talk about what Jesus had intended and what he was trying to show to people, and he's like, yo, but what do you mean? Like you are God, like we are God, like I am, like it's the example he was setting was showing everybody that you are God in human form. You are way more than what you're giving yourself credit for. You're looking at me as if I am it, and I'm showing you that I'm just an example of it. Like what I'm doing, you could do it as well. But the whole message got completely warped, where we now created the separation between us and Jesus and God, instead of seeing it as an example, like, oh, I am like Jesus and I could do what Jesus did, and I am God because that's what Jesus said. We are now living like subpar. We're living as if we are two steps removed and we're only these physical bodies and there's nothing more to us besides this, and we're going to die and then experience life after. Beautiful people, I really, really, really want you guys to enjoy your experience while you're here, because you came for this. You came to have these experiences, as positive or as negative, quote unquote, as you may think they are. Understand that is all part of a design that you put into place, and your spirit is just trying to get you back on course so that you could live your best life. That, beautiful people, is my teachable moment for you guys today. I am always grateful. I am glad to be a vessel to be used to share with you guys. And I just ask that the spirit continue to use me to be a vessel to share for you all and continue to empower you guys. So with that, beautiful people, I guess today is just a beautiful people kind of day. Beautiful people, we're gonna play a Chris Brown and then we're gonna take a pause for the cause. And we'll be back with Party with the People. Just take a quick positive cause just to shout out our homegirls, Kemba and Andrea from Keen Real Estate Group. Whenever you're thinking real estate, whenever you're thinking investments, whenever you're thinking about planning for the long term, think Keen Real Estate Group. They're generating wealth for generations. KeenGroup.ca. If your goal is to purchase a car and to make the process as simple as possible, just get a car broker, guys. You just get a car broker. Big shout out to our homeboy, Hamsdale Jacques, the owner of hjcourtierauto.com. That's hjcourtierauto.com. If you're a small to medium-sized business and you're getting started and you're ready to go to that next level, what do you need? You need a phone line and you need a website. Think Mainstream Digicom. They got all your telecommunication needs checked. MainstreamDigicom.com. You're trying to get out on the web. You're trying to understand how to navigate through ads. Check out Java Logix for all your marketing, your digital marketing. Where would we be without Preston? I don't even know. Check out Java Logix. I give thanks to Preston for what he's done for the OFC. The amount of positive reviews we've gotten from all his referrals, we're proud to stand behind his work. Check out JavaLogix.com. No, it's not just because he's my brother. It's because you can't talk hip-hop in Montreal without saying M-City Solo. Guys, check out his latest project, In My Feels, available on mcitysolo.com. If it's not one of the hardest new EPs to hit Montreal, come and let me know. You already know. It's your boy, Farrell, bigging up, mcitysolo.com. Keeping the culture alive. I gotta give thanks to West Can Folk Performing Company. For the last 40 years plus, they've been promoting our culture through song, drum, and dance, educating youth, the children, the seniors. Just check them out, westcanfolk.com.
Girl, what are you cooking?
My curry chicken.
Ooh, you're burning it.
Oh, gosh, it looks so...
It's okay, girl. You need the Curry House. They have the best Caribbean food in town. Two locations in Montreal, West Island and Côte-des-Neiges. For more information, follow Caribbean Curry House MTL. Don't forget to mention the Empower Hour for your 10% discount.
So, who placed in the order?
Me.
DeVito, WizKid, Burna Boy. Those are just some of the big names that's blessed Montreal thanks to Afrobeats Montreal. Definitely check out Afrobeats MTL for all concerts, show listings, everything that has to do with Afrobeats in the city. Check out Afrobeats MTL. One full circle. We are the Melanated Community Resource Hub and Network. What does that mean? We're here for each other.
Parlay with the people.
All right, beautiful people. So we are back. So at the top of the show, we did last week we were talking mental health. We were talking how to cope as people within the community. And you guys know this sister, she's no stranger to our show or to the community, the one and only Dr. Joan. Applause, Dr. Joan, thank you for being with us today on the OFC Podcast Radio.
I love the verbal and your own like little things happening in the background. It's a pleasure to be with you again, Farrell. It's been a while since we saw each other, so I'm really happy to be chatting with you again.
I know, Queen, it's like, you know, it's great because the relationship I feel we have, no matter how long, you know, until we connect, it's always just like, you know, it's as if we never missed a beat.
Exactly. I love that about, you know, my friends. It's like, we could just get together at any time, just continue the conversation from last year.
Yes. Exactly. But it's great to have you on because mental health, as you know, is something that's really important to us within the community. And addressing it from different angles is, in my opinion, the best way of accomplishing the goal of, you know, either, you know, we'll never be able to heal everybody. But the idea is to give us a fighting chance, is to empower the community as much as we can. So last week we had met with our sister Nadia, who is dealing with people a little bit after the fact and also trying to create preventative measures where it's like, let's get together as parents and talk about some of the challenges that our youth are having. Now, yeah. You also, in my opinion, have a very, it's like a preventative measure as well. And it's deep. It's so, so actually for those who don't know, let's first, before we dive into what you're doing and how things have evolved and what you're up to, I want to just give an opportunity for you to introduce yourself. For those who might be hearing you for the first time, we can give a little bit about your background and your practice, and then we could evolve into where we are today.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Joan Samuels Dennis. My background is actually nursing. And so I practice as an RN psychotherapist. And don't let that scare you, because I know some people think that nurses don't know psychotherapy, but I have gone through the journey of actually creating a method in psychotherapy that actually provides really great release for people in a very short period of time. So the method is called the Becoming Method, and I literally started developing this method 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. If I had to kind of look back, you know, Steve Jobs says you can always connect the dots going backwards, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of just have to trust that the dots will connect going forward as well, right? And just the other day, I was looking backwards because we were developing our student handbook. And so I had to kind of look backwards at all of the dots that connected. I started in public health nursing. I started looking at or serving women and men, single mothers and single fathers, doing case management. Found out that I loved mental health. Who knew? Never was exposed to it in my undergraduate. But seeing those people on a regular basis and asking the question, what is it that stops some people from being able to work and being able to engage in family life and being able to be healthy and all of those sorts of things? It spurred me on to then go and do my master's and then my PhD, and specialized in mental health promotion. And when I went to do my PhD, I wanted to develop an intervention that would support trauma recovery permanently, not just control symptoms, but permanently end the symptoms.
And not just a Band-Aid.
Exactly. Wasn't interested in a Band-Aid. We have something called mental health first aid. Not interested in mental health first aid. I actually want a resolution to the problem, and I have it. And so now the goal is to begin to teach it to other people and have them, you know, have a technique that works well. It works well, Farrell, because in 3 sessions, if you have depression, especially suicidal ideations, those are gone. So we have a lot of young people who have suicidal ideations, a lot of us who actually, you know, buy into all the messages that we've been told. And so by buying into those messages, we actually sink into a hole. And so our job is really to bring people out of the hole and reshape some of these socialization things that make us look at life a certain way. And so as you move through the becoming process, what you're really doing is these false identities that we all adopt as we're socialized by movies and the culture and all of these other things, we give them up. And as soon as we give those up and actually recognize the ways in which we've been treating ourselves so badly, we stop that. And once we stop treating ourselves so badly, guess what? We heal and we actually grow and transform. And so that's really what the journey is about. We heal people first, and then we give them the skills, the tools, the resources that they need to then transform and become that beautiful person that they are. So that's me in a nutshell.
And what's so amazing about that is being able to empower individuals like that. They themselves could now be a blessing to somebody else, even just being in a better spirit, just being in a better mindset, functioning differently. They're contributing positively to life, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that we know about Black people in Canada is we don't socially engage, even though we think we do. There's a small portion of us that do. We don't actually participate in life as fully as we should and as all other Canadians do. And so it's really time for us to come out of our little, you know, boxes that we've been in. And mostly that's socialized boxes, but it's time for us to now come out of that. And so the work that I do, whether it's with the National Healing Journey or with the Becoming Institute, is really about helping us to heal, to then come into a place where we can be together, where we certainly feel like we belong. And that sense of belonging promotes health and well-being in so many different ways.
That's so huge. And like how you had coined it, or like the I guess you could say the organization, like the National Healing Journey, has evolved into the Becoming Institute, or is it
two institutes or two corporations, really. One is a not-for-profit. The National Healing Journey, we've just evolved that in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. We had our first roundtable meeting September 30th. We were supposed to have gone to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and we were supposed to have done a 3-day truth, forgiveness, and reconciliation journey. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to do that because our sponsors didn't come through until the very last moment. So we put that forward to September of next year. But we hosted our first national roundtable, which we went across the country. We brought Black-led, Black-focused, Black-serving organizations together with the goal of building a coalition where all 1.5 6 million of us will eventually come together and be able to connect together. But we started that process just this past September. So that's the National Healing Journey. And then the Becoming Institute is an institute that teaches as well as provides psychotherapy care. So We have a 12-month trauma recovery certificate program that will be teaching people how to become psychotherapists. And then we also do the psychotherapy ourselves. And every time we have graduates from our program, we'll invite them to come and work with us so that we build a network of trauma recovery specialists and psychotherapists who can serve the Black population and beyond.
You see, so for our listeners, the what we want you to understand is the goal is for you to get the help. And then if you so choose, you can now get involved. I don't want to say get involved in the industry, but you yourself can now heal others. You see there's certain people who have a certain calling, like they have it's something in them. It's something, and those who are listening right now, you know, if I'm speaking to you, like there's something innate in you that you want to help, you want to do for others. And with the Becoming Institute, you actually now have, I guess you could say, almost like the tools, if you do go through the process, so that you can now actually legitimately do it, earn a living from it too, if you so choose, but you have something that could actually really help and impact society. You know, so I think it's really important that our listeners grasp that. Like there's a lot of levels of what we're talking about, but at the base, it is something where if you yourself, you feel compelled, or you know, like you're feeling called for something like this, this is an opportunity for you right now. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. And then some people have that feeling like they're called, but they really just have a savior complex. So what we have to do is we really have to heal people and get them to recognize their savior complex. And then once they give up their savior complex, if this is truly their calling, they'll remain. But if they give up their savior complex and it's not their calling, then they'll leave, right? So, a lot of us, especially Black people, we have a savior complex because we need to be saved. But the only way to save is ourselves. But, you know, we get caught up in trying to save other people because it makes us feel good. So what, especially as people move through our program, one of the things that I'm very good at is recognizing the savior complex. And when I recognize the savior complex, then I talk to my students and I say, hey, listen, I see that you have this way of being that really, it's not about taking care of yourself. It's always about taking care of other people. That's called the savior complex, or it's called the helper addiction. So can we work on that, right? And if they say, absolutely, I see your point of view, Dr. Joan, let's work on it, then they continue with me. But if they continue to persist in the savior or the helper addiction, then I say to them, look, I've just talked to you about this before. So can we work on this? And then if they say yes, then we continue. But then if by the third time I talk to the person about their savior complex and their helper addiction, and they choose not to do anything about that, I don't want you in psychotherapy.
Good point. Good point. Yes, because you can't help yourself. So there's no way you can help others. Let's be 100.
And you're here for the wrong reason.
Right.
You're not actually here for the client. You're here for yourself. And what you're feeding every time you get into that helper mentality is you. You're not feeding the other person. In fact, you might not even care about them. What you are doing, though, is you're feeding your need to be needed. And so for people who are in that place but can't see it, but then somebody else sees it and tells it to them, and if they can receive that, then they continue with me. But you are the worst type of therapist if that is what you do. And you are actually going to cause yourself harm as well as other people harm. So part of what we do in our program, we're constantly working on ourselves. If I find that our students are not working on themselves and seeing the things that they need to see and receive the information that they need to receive in order to become better therapists, then I ask them to exit the program. So, and we have other ways of doing that because all of our courses are graded. And so the minimum requirement for each course is a B. And so there's certain things, but then we also are supervising our students at the same time. And so we make note of those things. Yeah.
And I was about to ask you, like, if now our listeners, and there's somebody who wants to almost go through the journey, right? Like what can they expect? And just from my experience going through the healing journey, like I'm curious to even know for myself, like if they'll go through some of the awesome things that I did in terms of that looking in the mirror thing, in terms of, you know, like so I don't know if you can even touch a little bit on that, but just so they could get an idea of what the journey is like.
Yeah. So when we offer our psychotherapy, services to clients, they're going to move through four phases of the journey. And these are, they're carved into weeks. So week one is what we call the safe and sound protocol. When we experience a trauma, the number one experience that goes along with that is the sense of I am not safe. And it's not just a thought, but autonomically and physiologically, the body begins to shift into a physical state of unsafety. Mm-hmm. So you become hyper alert all the time. You'll notice that there's a lot of anger, rigidity, inflexibility that goes along with that. And so when we work with the client, we want them to feel safe. So we use music in order to actually help them come into a state of safety. When they're in a state of safety, and by the way that the process works there is we're also developing a really nice bond with the client during that period of listening to the music. But, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of move through and then the body corrects itself and then it moves back into that state of safety. From weeks 2 to then week 8, let's say, it's a 7 weeks, we do what's called conscious forgiveness. And that's what you mean by the mirror. So everybody that that we have to actually heal a wound that has been caused. So the person who caused us the wound, oftentimes we're not aware that we adopt those person's identity. So the very thing that they did to us is actually what we do to us. And it's actually what we do to other people. And it's actually, it causes so many other things that spiral from that. So when we do the conscious forgiveness, it's a psychotherapeutic process that helps the person to first look at the person that has wounded them, ask a number of questions, help them to process the memory, let go of some false beliefs that they formed in that moment, release that all, and then look at themselves and then see the ways in which they've been doing that very same thing to themselves. Wow. So that's the crux of that piece. We think
of and actually, sorry, I got to testify a little bit because I obviously, like I've been saying, I spoke about the experience. And one thing I want people to understand is when we talk about something that a person did to you, it doesn't even necessarily have to be like they did it intentionally or directly hurt you, right? And I don't mind talking about my scenario. In my particular scenario, I was able to trace back a trauma that I experienced when I was still in my mother's womb. And it was a real amazing experience, and to be able to validate it as well. It's something that obviously consciously I would not have known that that's what I was doing. But then when we went through the process to really, you know, where we really did shed some light on it, it was mind blowing. So again, it's something I could testify it works. Okay, sorry, continue.
So we think it's really, thank you for that, because it's important, right, to recognize that there are certain timelines, even in the womb, where we're conscious and we are experiencing these difficult emotions that's connected to our parents. Mm-hmm. But a lot of therapists will actually keep people in therapy on purpose because, well, it's revenue generation, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to be aware about that. But in addition to that, many therapists don't actually know how to figure out the timelines that we should actually connect our memories to that will then actually help us to move into the healing space. So one of the things that we do is we feel it's important to teach our clients the method so that on a regular basis, they can get up, they can assess themselves, they can do what we call a balancing and then, you know, go on with their day. So during weeks 10 or 9 of the program, we teach them in a three-day retreat. And then finally, everybody needs a therapist, a mentor, and a coach. Not just me, not just you. Yeah. Everybody, not just Black people, not just white people. Everybody needs those three people in their lives. And so the last part of our program is really about coaching. Because when you go through a healing process, there's such a clarity that comes. Mm-hmm. You then immediately can then push forward into some of these wonderful places and you're no longer held back by some of those fears that have been holding you. So the coaching piece is then, oh, so this is what you want to do now? Okay, so how do you get it done? And so we work with the client over that 16-week period to get them those results that they want.
Wow. Now that, and I know that to me, I'm excited to see the outcome. I'm excited to hear the success stories just because like this is more than like what we said at the beginning. This is more than just a Band-Aid. This is something where you're impacting people on levels that done well will correct some traumas that they're having and will actually help them to impact their future generation because they will no longer pass it on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as soon as we do our healing, there's a process called epigenetics. And epigenetics means that my cells, when I experience a trauma, the expression of my genes or the expressions that's in each of my cells is altered. So when I do my healing work, it goes back to that nice, healthy state. Okay. And so if I have a child and I'm unhealed, I naturally pass on the genetic data to my children, and actually up to 3 or 4 generations. Wow. Then if a new trauma occurs, because intergenerational trauma is real, so I will do to my children what has been done to me, they will do to their children what has been done to them. So if there's no new trauma by 3 to 4 generations, that's gone. But if the trauma repeats, then it continues for up to 7 generations. So what we now know is if we heal though, then by the next generation, it's gone. In fact, 12 months later, my cells are healed and that record is no longer present. So it doesn't go on to anyone. So for those who are youngest amongst us, the child bearers amongst us, then we want them to do their healing, because that's where the real end of intergenerational trauma will happen.
Man, for mothers who are out there who are, you know, especially some of the first time mothers, like, I'm sure if they had an opportunity to get involved in these kind of things, because what parent does not want the best for their child? What parent does not want to hand this type of, like, you know, make sure they're handing on only blessings to their offspring?
Right. That's right.
So was that the end of the journey, or is there another step? Like, once you
that's a psychotherapeutic journey. So, you know, typically when people finish that 16-week period with us, they'll say things like, I feel transformed. I feel like a brand new person. I feel like guys, like I haven't in years. And then most of them will then go on into entrepreneurship, actually, or the people who felt like, oh, I've been wanting to do my master's or my whatever else for some, they start going in that direction as well.
So it's like whatever blockages that they had is no longer there. That's pretty much what it is. Like it's, and again, why I resonate so much with this and why it's great having as a partner of the OFC is that our goal is to help people live their best life. We want people to maximize their potential. And so we do it by creating connections and getting people to, you know, connect with people that could create other opportunities. Yeah. But, you know, having a person like you as a part of the community, or having your organization or company as a part of the community, to be able to help, you know, people to tap into that side of them, their spiritual side, their psychological side, you know, that is, you know, also creating these blockages. It's huge. It's great to be able to remove those type of things. So that was the whole journey. Now we have the institute, and that so when people register to the institute, they're taking part in that journey. Is that what it is?
They can come in as a psychotherapy client and they'll take part in that 16-week journey. If they come in and they actually want to train with us as a psychotherapist, then they'll come into our 12-month trauma recovery program, and they'll take 16 courses. There'll be an actual healing component to that in the first semester. And then they'll move through a process where there's level 1 or semester 1 courses, 5 courses altogether. Level 2, there's 5 courses. Level 3, there's about 6 courses altogether. But they also do 1,000 hours of practicum, real world, you know, doing therapy with about 15 clients using our 16-week process. So they complete our program with about 1,000 hours of real world experience.
Wow. So this is a time now where I guess it's our call to action. So we have, so right now as it is, you have it's like a training course coming up. Is that
we're doing an info session every Friday of this month. So November 1st to November 29th, I believe, is the last Friday. We're doing an info session every Friday at noon Eastern, where we'll give folks information about the 12-month trauma recovery certificate program.
How long is the course? How long is the info session?
Just an hour. So it's over the lunch hour, noon to 1 p.m. every Friday. They can go to our, I'm thinking, is it on our website? I'm not sure it's on our website, but I'll make sure we have a pop-up that, you know, our marketing folks put up. But if they're interested, they can reach out to me as well. And then I can send you all the info. So it's on your website as well.
I was about to say, and what about those who are loving this, but their lunch hour is not 12 to 1? And they're like, how do they connect? How do they get involved if they want more information?
If they reach out to me, whether it's on WhatsApp or if they call us directly. So our business number is 647-265-0804. Give us a call. Just hit the button that says Dean's Office. And then just reach out to me, and then I will send you the correct information. And we probably will have a recorded session as well, so I can then share one of the recordings from that or answer any questions that they might have.
Amazing. And once you do have that, please let us know, because we'll also share it out through our newsletter, just for anybody who might have missed it who wanted to participate. Yeah. Can you repeat the number one more time? Because you know, sometimes you have the people listening and they want to jot it down, but yeah, they're in the car, they're a little distracted. I like to give people an opportunity to know the numbers coming back. Get your phones ready, paper, pen, pencil. All right, we'll give the number one more time. So if you want to go ahead, Dr. Jones.
647-265-0804.
That is amazing. So now, okay, so we have the information sessions coming up now, and they'll get information. And anyways, we shared a lot of info in this interview right now. What I strongly recommend people is just reach out, connect, ask on different levels. If you, it's like whatever resonated with you, whether it be you yourself are looking for healing, you yourself want to become a healer, you yourself just want to find out the information because you think you might know somebody else who could benefit.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you. I don't think there's any bad question. You can let me know now if there's anything you don't want people to call you and ask you about.
We're good.
Keep it. Guys, don't worry. Dr. Jones is awesome. She's an awesome sister to connect with. She's very approachable, very friendly. So do not feel no how, no way. Now, this has always been fun, as it's always fun connecting with you. You know how I like to end our interviews, where I like to create an opportunity for our guests to leave our listeners with some words of empowerment or encouragement. So do you have any words of empowerment you'd like to leave with our people today?
Yes, I think I would like everyone to think about the role that they play in their families. And I'd like them to think about whether or not they are occupying a space of healing, or actually that same helper addict kind of mentality. So when you think about helping the people who come to you, because those who are helper addicts, people actually come to them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to empower you with, you know, the thought of, you know, what is it that is motivating you to remain in that helper position? And I'd like to empower you in this way. I'd like you to be operating from that healthy helper space as opposed to the helper addict space, right? And you'll know if you are a healthy helper because you are genuinely interested in the individual. You don't impose yourself on them. You are thinking about from their perspective, what is it that they're experiencing and what do they need? But you also know you're not the answer, right? So the person is not just coming to you because you're the answer to their problem. And that's a healthy position to stand in. Now, you can also know if you're a helper addict, if you run to the right, to the left, up, down, wherever people are, there, wherever there's a fire, you're there, right? And you count yourself as absolutely essential to putting out that fire. And it becomes more about feeding your desire as opposed to actually helping the individual. And in fact, when you pull yourself out of a situation, instead of constantly going in to save, you're actually doing greater good for all of those individuals. So we all need to save ourselves, and the healthy person who helps is going to recognize that every individual has the power to save themselves. So we tend to not go in, but we tend to actually stay and just offer the comfort that is needed without having to save people, control people, impose on them what we think the solution might be. So that's my form of empowerment today.
Woo! That was huge. And you know, it's funny. You said the spirit works, because when you guys brought it up earlier in the interview, in my head, I'm like, how do you really know if you're... I was like, you know, but let me not take us off course. So I'm always grateful to life and the ancestors for just creating these opportunities and for answering the unasked questions.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Queen. It's always a blessing having you on with us. And guys, please don't hesitate. Reach out to Dr. Jones. She is looking forward to hearing from you guys. Stay tuned as we now take a pause for the cause.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Actually, it's time to ungrind those gears. Let's get into some interesting facts, tips, and a whole lot of fun with Gina the Gray.
What the facts is going on? So, you know how people always say, like, oh, I'm getting sick because of the whole hot, cold, and the weather being hot and cold. And, like, you know, when it's the summer and it's hot outside and you walk in and there's AC.
Yes.
Good old Caribbean way of looking at things. And people generally, I'm kind of like, that's not how you get sick. Like, you actually need a virus to be able to get sick. It's not literally just the heat and or the cold to it. Well, we do have, there's a little bit of research to that, and there's a little bit of validity to that. But here is the breakdown on how that really works.
Cold by being cold? Not really, but kind of. Let's talk about it. So colds are caused by a virus, which means you can't get sick unless you actually catch the virus. But your body's first line of defense against airborne viruses is this specialized layer of cells that lines your upper airway. And these cells will produce a thick, sticky mucus that will catch and trap the pathogens that you breathe in. And they also produce these molecular brooms called cilia that will sweep that mucus with those pathogens up and out of your airway where they won't cause you any problems. Now, these cells need a warm, moist environment to live in, which the inside of your body normally is. But during the winter, when you're breathing in cold, dry air all day, this layer of cells can actually get damaged. And you've probably felt this before. If you've ever slept in a really cold, dry room and then you wake up and your throat hurts, but then when you have a nice hot, steamy shower or you drink something warm, you feel better because you're replenishing that warm, moist environment. However, if a viral particle enters your system while your defenses are down, it's going to have a much easier time infecting you. So while being cold itself can't give you a cold, it does make you a lot more susceptible to the viruses that do.
So I guess everyone was kind of right and wrong at the same time. What it is, it's not about going to the hot and cold and hot and cold that actually gets you sick. It's it's that your immune system is compromised, or I should say it's susceptible to allowing the virus to compromise your system when you do have that switch. And I felt like this was a proper share at this time because we are changing seasons and we're doing a lot of the, like, you know, this Halloween being the one of the Halloweens that, you know, kids didn't need to go in their winter jackets, you know, so we're seeing a lot of that change in climate there. You know, just be weary of, or just be conscious of that, because don't be like me last week who got sick and like everybody else I'm hearing who was just like kahem all over the place. But that was a bit of an answer.
Well, you know, I find this is interesting because as soon as Shai got out of the plane, I kid you not, in Toronto, she started to cough. And she was fine the whole time in St. Lucia.
Yes. But all the people who are on that plane breathing air that's within the plane, to me personally, and I know that they say they have vents and all these things. Yeah, the plane is probably one of the worst places for that. And I'm beginning to wonder, because I still see people sometimes who wear their mask. And I believe that when you're wearing your mask, it's because normally you should be wearing your mask when you're sick. And if those people are doing it, if those people are doing that, thank you, because then you're preventing from the whole plane getting sick. But maybe sometimes it's just best for you to just wear a mask. Because the thing too is that you're most contagious when you first catch the virus a day, like day one or two, but you're not normally showing like full-fledged symptoms, you know? Mm. Like the sore throat might come only at the end of the night, at the end of the day or early in the morning, but that means you've had the virus all day and you've technically been contagious that whole time.
Yikes. Yeah, but off topic, on topic, This warm weather we've been having, like for Halloween, like did we already talk about the fact this is gonna be normal? Like that Montreal is gonna be like, and I'm telling you, Montreal is gonna be like hot like LA in a couple of years. Did I tell you guys that already? Did we already talk about this? Because this, I'm telling you guys, it has nothing to do with global warming and us not recycling. It really is to do with the planet and the shift of the poles and the fact that, like, just that simple little wobble is going to make it where here is going to become hot. And places that were cold are going to, like, all places are cold is going to get hot. Hot places are going to get cold. Water is going to completely shift. If you live near water, you're going to want to move ASAP. Montreal is going to get a lot more rain than we've had in the past. It's going to be normal, guys. So we really need to be ready for it.
Well, when you say live near water, because Montreal's an island, so we are surrounded by it.
Okay, I just didn't want to say it. I don't want to create a mass panic.
What I
But
can't,
guys, listen
right?
to what Gina the Great just said.
I didn't say anything. I mean,
Yo,
I don't know this theory of yours.
Montreal is an
Stop it.
island, okay?
I mean, that is a fact. I
Yo,
haven't heard this theory of yours, so I don't know.
talk to the guides, all right? That I'm just word to the wise, talk to guides.
Not the eyes. They can't see you. But I guess I'm sure you guys felt him. I'm sure you felt him. Speaking about water, water holds memory. And so this is I guess this kind of falls in my motivational section in the sense where you can actually speak to water, and it's important that you keep anything that you ingest, maybe beyond water, keep it around positive things because it has that memory in it. So here's a little excerpt on this.
You're seeing here is water memory. You can do this experiment yourself just by showing an image to water for around 30 seconds and then freezing the water, and you will see a reflection of the image you showed it. This proves that water holds memory. It has consciousness. This is because water can change its structure depending on the vibrations it comes into contact with. This is where things start to get a bit crazy with words. Placing the word schizophrenia in water and then freezing it shows this image of a double-faced person. This proves that water is intelligent and is reacting to vibrations of the words. Now that you understand this concept, what do you think happens when you are drinking Monster Energy or with cans which imprinted the word of death? You are drinking crystallized water with the imprinted vibration of death. You are filling 70% of your body, which is water, with the vibration of death. Tap water is mixed with sewage and all sorts of toxins inside of these facilities. Although they may remove some of the toxins from the water, the crystallized vibration of this water is still very bad. The ancients didn't just build beautiful water fountains for no reason. They had a purpose of moving the water so that it restructures the vibration of the water. Water is basically the internet of the earth. It has consciousness and intelligence. This is why you should never place your car keys or your phone next to your water. The energy codes in my bio will allow you to place codes underneath water and then drink it.
So, I mean, for those who couldn't see it, like they would put different images and like whatever. They did a star and a moon that they designed, and they put water to it, and they froze the water, and it would mimic the image that it saw, or the words that it would say. And I know that that people tell you to speak life into your glass of water before you drink it. So the same way how you pray over your food when you want to bless your food, so call it prayer, or put light or whatever that is when you're blessing that food, because that's going to enter into your system, and you're asking it to nourish you and only bring goodness to your body. It's the same way how you're supposed to put that same prayer and blessing on the things that you drink. I think we're all known to bless our food. We weren't taught to bless our drinks too, and especially water being the way it is. I think there's also just that mention of making sure that you filter your water as best you can. I get it. Like, we don't all live next to springs, and or if you do, maybe the spring's not drinkable either. But do the best that you can from that standpoint. Which is funny because when I got sick, I have an alkalized filter, but I do like to have spring water on deck. So I went and got like those 4 liter bottles of like Esca, because Esca's lit. Because I was like, I feel like I need spring water. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I need untapped water every now and again, just to kind of help flush things out. And so like.
You're only talking facts. I love this. Thank you, Jim, for sharing this because this I obviously want to bring it just one step further because they mentioned it in there. We are what 70 to 80% water. Our bodies are made of. So picture when you are talking bad about yourself.
Yes.
When you are putting all kind of weird energy out. Like picture what you're doing to you. You are literally water. We are literally made up of water, guys. Like it's not that crazy. It's just that we've been so like distracted and convinced that there's so much more. It's like, yo, at the base, bro, we're made up of water. Like, just be mindful of what you're saying to yourself because that has memory.
And if you want to test this yourself, my brother was sending me a picture one time. He was playing classical music while he was taking a shower. And the vibrational notes was showing on the mirror and stuff like that. Like the water basically formed the vibrational notes of the classical music of the classical music. And like, that's, I mean, again, everything is alive in all the things that you do. So especially whatever you put in your body from whether, even if it's chips though, even if it's not necessarily something that is, you know, typically good for yourself, call it upon that and be like, you know what? I'm eating this because this is going to bring me joy and I'm only going to take the good out of it. The bad's going to be released. You know, whatever that is. Like, I mean, cater it to what you need it to be.
Talk your magic. Talk your magic.
Talk your magic and do what you want and enjoy the things that you enjoy doing. And then just don't give it the power of, because that's the other problem too. Like we have very bad relationships with food. Because we're constantly being told, oh, eggs is good for you, eggs are bad for you, cheese is good for you, cheese is bad for you, this is good for you, this is bad for you, too much of this and not of that. Oh, like, you know, everything in everything
moderation.
In moderation. And I do think that that's correct, but we just have this whole thing. And I remember even when I was in my younger years, I had just started my career in recruitment. So I was in my early 20s and my colleagues, everything was just like, oh, il faut garder la ligne, il faut garder la ligne. So anything you ate was like, oh, I'm just going to have one little bite of this cake because, you know, you got to watch the waistline. And I'm like, even that connotation, that little bite of cake right now is going to go bust your waistline just because.
Right. Facts.
Because that was my environment, I used to say that too. And then every time you think about something like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take a bite of this chocolate bar, I'm about to bust my waistline. I'm about to take a bite. And that... at some point it's just like, oh, meat eating period is going to be bad. And it's in your system.
So said, so done.
Yeah.
And you just said it, but I just wanted to highlight that again. You guys, have your babies listen to classical music. Okay. It does great for them. All right. I'm just going
to
say.
It does great for you. Matter of fact, have the whole house listen to classical music. Start your Sunday with it. Start your day with it, actually. Because when I start my work days and I have classical music in the background, like, I think I said that a couple of weeks ago, didn't I?
And you, even if you didn't say it again, because I mean, even if you did say it again, because damn, it's fast.
No, starting my day, my work day with classical music, really is. It just, I'm not one who identifies anxiety very easily, just because I think that we all have a fight or flight that's embedded in us as Black people. But that's actually a lot of anxiety that we're not, undealt anxiety. But I definitely, like, I read my emails differently. And it's not, like, when I read certain things, it's not an immediate, like fight reaction. Like, oh my gosh, this is going a certain way. No, I have classical music. So it's just like, oh, we got to do this. All right, we'll get to that. And, you know, everything's not immediate. Everything's not. And then everything gets done in its appropriate amount of time. But the difference is I'm not stressed.
Because it's all about how you feel at the end of the day. Like when you're working on the project, when you work, it's like, that's really what it is. Like, and that's what, it's like, you want to enjoy what you're doing. Yes, true. Sometimes things are going to be hard. There'll be some challenges, whatever be the case. But it's like that energy, the spirit will lead and guide, but it's how you start it. And if people aren't doing it right now, meditating in the morning, or at least at the very least, putting out some affirmations. If you don't pray and you don't like meditate, at least start your day and say, yo, I'm going to have a good day. Because that in itself is a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. I mentioned it last week. I believe it was last week or the week before last. You know, Vince got his jersey retired from the Raptors. So that ceremony took place in Toronto. Toronto definitely came out. Shout out to them. And he was just really brought to tears. And I thought it was a really beautiful moment from there.
You said that was Vince Carter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I heard recently Drake was upset about something because of a basketball player that was in the Not Like Us video, and he was like, "Yo, don't ever."
Yeah, that it wasn't Vince Carter, obviously,
Oh,
but
okay.
it was I forget his name, but I just seen something pass about them, and someone posted like, if you're wondering why Drake was upset that he was in the They Not Like Us videos, and then they posted an interview where he was just like, when he was at his lowest and in the news and everyone was in his business, he's like, Drake came to him as a friend of just like, don't focus on that, do this, and like he was actually there in his corner, and he was just like, yo, I'm gonna forever take that, and that's really like that's why he'll always have a friend in me. So I don't know what transpired between that and the video.
But now, okay, see, thank you for context. That explains why Drake would be vexed and why Drake could be like,
Would
yo,
be
bum
best,
that
yeah.
dude.
But I mean, hey, once upon a time, Drake was friends with Future and Kendrick
True.
and Kanye.
I know, I just listened to a song with them on the track together. I was like, hey, it's a track with, Drake and
So I don't know, and Hollyweird has its own thing, and when I say Hollyweird, that does include the music industry. So I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's everybody else. I don't know if it's what and whatever it is. Everyone does their own thing that sometimes it's in their own best interest. So I that doesn't really affect me how rich people are upset at other rich people. I got other things to do.
facts, my friend. You're only talking facts.
Very first world problems to me. The other thing too, well, back to like social media, I seen someone talk about if you wake up in the middle of the night, it could be due to a sugar low, apparently, and basically your brain is kind of low on sugar, and so it wakes you up so it can have that adrenaline boost, and it's just like cool, like I got that, like I got it good now, so like your brain gets back to normal, but now you have disrupted sleep and you don't have a good sleep, and I'm wondering if like I fall in that category per se, because I definitely wake up quite a bit throughout the night, and it does take me a bit to go back to sleep. And so what they had suggested was before you go to sleep to take a to have a small snack. They didn't say go have a whole ass meal, because you and here I am talking about food like that too, but you shouldn't necessarily eat a big meal and go to sleep. But he said like whatever, like a piece of fruit or like something that has like a sugar in it, so like a granola bar or collagen or whatnot, so for better sleep. And then last night I did eat a Kind bar before going to sleep. Because I was doing so much stuff and I lost track of time, and I was just like, well, I'm not hungry for a meal, but I'm hungry. And then I remembered the video and I was just like, you know what, let me have this granola. And my sleep was fine up until my fridge decided to beep at like I think 3:30 in the morning, because it does that.
It's still doing that? This
No,
mother.
so that it does it. So I got it to stop doing it all the time because it's the vents. But at this point, everything is so close to the door of my fridge, because I'm trying to give the vent enough space to like to pass through that. Like, at some point though, like I gotta put stuff in the fridge though. Like, I need things to be in the fridge, and I don't know what else you want me to do, because you seem clear. But I guess now there's too many high bottles in the front, and whatever sensor is not catch like picking up what it needs to pick up. And then 3:30 in the morning, beep beep. And I'm the type of person like a pin dropping will wake me up out of my sleep, especially depending on where you are in your REM, right? Yeah, so that happened, but I didn't just wake up randomly outside of that. So I don't know if it entirely worked because I got disrupted anyway, but I might try that again tonight to see how that works.
Like I wake up in the middle of the night pretty often, but like I'll get up and have a full meal, like and go right back to sleep. Like
Well, that
my
might
wife kind of
be
thinks like I sleep eat, but like it's weird. I don't
it.
know.
But there may be a deficiency and your body's telling you, and you probably don't eat the way you're supposed to during the day, because you're Mr. Go-Go-Go. So your body's like, okay, I hear what you thought you were good, but like you probably could only do that because in the middle of the night you wake up to give your body some kind of nourishment.
Facts. I'm gonna try to film myself next time.
Film yourself eating?
Sleep eating. It's the weirdest thing because I'll wake up and I'll find dishes in the sink and be like, who ate this? And then I'm like, wait, I have
Wait, you
vague
don't remember
memories.
that
It's like vague. It's like
you ate?
vague where I'm like, yo, I'm like, this was me. It kind of feels like Fight Club. You know, Fight Club be like, yo, who was here? Who did this? Tyler, my Tyler, you know, anyways.
I can't. Well, let's get into some trivia. And by special request, we're doing cartoon trivia. People, are you ready?
Woohoo! That was a round of applause and fanfare right there, Drew. Fanfare, not just round of applause, fanfare. Cartoons is big. Okay.
Oh, cartoons are big. Well, let's see how we do today. What is the name of Mickey Mouse's dog?
Pluto.
It is Pluto indeed. In which cartoon does the character Bugs Bunny first appear?
First appear?
Mm-hmm.
Is there multiple choice?
See if I had multiple choices to give. I feel like this was before our time, to be honest.
Well, because there's the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show. There's Teletoon, but Teletoon came after.
Teletoon's after that. No, they're saying which cartoon did the Bugs Bunny first appear. And quite frankly, I'm pretty sure Bugs Bunny probably appeared before we were born. It was called A Wild Hare. And I've never heard of that. So that was before our time. I might just skip these very like, you know, 1950s questions.
All right.
What type of animal is Baloo in the Jungle Book?
A bear.
Yes. It's the bear necessities.
But now, what kind of bear is he? Because Jungle Book, like, I always wonder, because he seems like a big black bear, but I'm wondering why he's in the jungle. I always wondered that. But I guess bears aren't native to the jungle anyways, whether you have grizzly, black bear, polar bear. I don't know what the hell you're doing in the jungle, mind you. You're a bear. I don't.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know why.
So some species, such as the sloth bear, the sun bear, the spectacled bear, and the Asiatic black bear, can live in a jungle.
Okay, so he must have been an Asiatic black bear. Okay, great.
Yeah, he might have been. He might have been one of them's. Mm. Next question: who is the main villain in The Little Mermaid?
Ursula?
It was Ursula, yep. In SpongeBob SquarePants, what is the name of SpongeBob's pet snail?
Oh, that I do not know, because I'm not a big SpongeBob SquarePants fan.
What? Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
No, I know. It's just something about it. I just never wanted to watch it, nor do I want my children to. But don't ask me why. It's something in the frequencies.
Well, his pet snail was Gary.
See, I would have not. I was gonna be like Speedy Fast runner.
Not Speedy Fast. What is the name of the city where the Simpsons live?
Springfield.
It is Springfield indeed.
And you know, I always felt like the South Shore when I was growing up. I always felt the South Shore was Shelbyville. On the other side of Springfield, where everything is just backwards. I felt Montreal was Springfield, the South Shore is Shelbyville. Don't ask me why. That's just how I grew up until I moved to the South Shore myself and I had to just accept
that. You became
that.
A Shelbyvillian?
That's basically it. That's literally what I had to accept.
What is the color of Scooby-Doo's collar?
Purple. No, it's green.
Nope.
It's not green or purple?
I feel like you're having a Mandela effect. It is not green or purple.
Orange?
Nope.
Wow, no clue.
It's blue.
Wow. You sure?
Where are you? It's blue.
Wow. Okay.
This one, I feel like, is a layup. In Avatar, The Last Airbender, what element does Aang control first?
Wind.
I need a better answer.
Wait. Which element does
What Aang... are elements? Wind, what element is wind?
Air?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry.
I don't give you half a point off of that, though.
No, you're right. You're right. That was a lazy answer.
Who is the main antagonist in The Lion King?
Scar.
It is Scar. And so, so glad we got here. This is a pause in trivia. So you know they're coming out with the Scar story, right? For The Lion King Scar story?
No, I did not know. Nice. Yeah,
they are. Okay. And so it's basically a villain origin story, right?
I like those.
What you'll know from the preview alone is that Scar was actually the next in line to be the Lion King.
Because he's older.
No, because Mufasa was actually an adopted cub that Scar saved. So Mufasa was a cub that Scar saved when he was supposed to get trampled. And he saved him, he brought him back to Pride. And Scar's dad was just like, yo, that's not a cub from our pack. He's like, come on, dad. Like, it's just he's just a pup. Like, can we keep him? Blah, 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 blah. And so again, in the trailer, fast forward to him being older and Scar's father's just like, cool, Mufasa, the prize yours. And Scar's like, but that's not even your son though. I'm your actual son. And so, yeah, that's the preview. And so that's what's coming out. And that had me thinking, and again, super sidebar of the sidebars, like, I'm really liking this era of like giving the villain origin stories. Like they did that with, what's it called? Maleficent.
Yeah. And Zynga has me watching that regularly.
Mm-hmm. Does she? Yeah. And I feel like they were doing it for something. Well, even like for example, like Loki, they had a whole series of Loki and like, yeah, where he came from and all these different things. And I was just like, or even like Thanos, like understanding how Thanos kind of just had to go left on how things are. And look, you have to be responsible for your actions when you're in your actions, but understanding the origin story of a lot of different things, of a lot of different people, like helps you know to do better in the future, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of any now. And I remember when I was having this conversation with my sister, we were kind of going down the line of like, what villain would you like to have, like to see an origin story from? And Jen did say Ursula, actually. She did say Ursula.
If I had to think about a villain that I would want to see,
Magneto was another one where they started showing his origin story in X-Men.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
But what about, because even Venom, because Venom is a bad guy, but actually just recently,
he's been make him feel so much as a bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, I'll answer this next week. I'm gonna ponder on this. Like,
yeah, let's think about that. Let's next week. Let's talk about which villains would we want, or antagonists do we want to hear their origin stories?
Facts.
Yeah. All right, back into trivia. In Rick and Morty, what dimension are the title characters originally from?
What dimension?
Yes. What is Rick and Morty's original dimension?
I don't even know how to answer that. Yeah. Yes. It's a good
Rick
question.
Rick and Morty card revoked. No.
When you say what dimension, it's like,
yes, because you know they'll be like, oh, you're Rick from da 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 dimension.
Right. Well, like, but see, like when I think, like I think of the Citadel, I think of what dimension is the Citadel of Rick's in? Like
what I call it, the Citadel's not a dimension. The different Ricks of the different dimensions
go to the Citadel.
To the Citadel, yeah. So it's C-137.
Oh my gosh, I would have never got that. Jeez, yeah. That's a good one. Shit, that's one. You put money on the table when I want it. If you get this, you get $100.
Man, it's a double or nothing, and I still can't remember it. What is the name of the cowboy in the Toy Story? Not the Toy Story, in Toy Story.
Woody?
It is Woody. In the Flintstones, what is the name of Fred and Wilma's daughter?
Pebbles.
Bonus, what's Barney's son name?
Bam Bam.
Bam Bam.
It's only I know that because I still plan on buying two cars and naming them Pebbles and Bam Bam.
And these two cars, like, they're just supposed to sit there and be Pebbles and Bam Bam?
Well, actually, if you really want to know, Pebbles is a Lamborghini and Bam Bam is a Mercedes truck. Okay. If you really want, I'm going to do this, guys. Mark my words. Okay, as part of what I want in this life experience, I'm going to have it. Pebbles and Bam Bam. It's going to be my Lambo and my truck.
All right, I got three more for you. Mm-hmm. In Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what is the name of their rat sensei?
Splinter.
It sure is.
Master Splinter.
Master Splinter. Who is the main antagonist in Atlanta? In Aladdin?
Jafar.
Jafar. He's our man.
What's his background? Yeah, poor Jafar. No, Jafar is not no poor. No, he's a jerk. Get that.
He 100%. 100%. He was just greedy.
Yeah, but not.
Mm-hmm. And finally, for this week, in Family Guy, what is the name of the Griffin's dog? You were not about to say what
I know. I was not. I was not about to say that. He has a real. Hold on. It is.
Family Guy card revoked.
Oh my goodness. No, don't say it. Don't say it. All right, say it. I don't remember.
Do you want some Cool Whip? Do you want some Cool Whip, Brian?
Right. Because I know it's like a regular name. Like, not to knock our Brians out there in the world. Like, but Brian is like, Brian.
His name's not Fido, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not Sparky. It's not like Brian, the dog. Like, anyway, so it was like, it was there. I almost said Arthur, but I was like, no.
No, that's the bear. And he always has the fist. The Arthur fist. Well, thank you for joining us for trivia. I grind, you grind, and sometimes we need to ungrind together. That's Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great. We'd like to thank our special guests. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, Drew and the Stew, and the Caribbean Curry House. Do you have any shout outs?
I sure do. I'm going to start off by shouting out to the Munch Montreal World Carnival. I want you guys to check out montrealworldcarnival.com. It's gonna be epic. So it's coming up in November. It's an online event. You guys could get your tickets. It's going from the 19th to the 21st. So it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay, it's online. And basically it's a carnival summit that we're doing online where we're mobilizing organizations, individuals within the carnival culture from all over the world to share best practices. So people who are passionate and interested, who would like to find out more and participate, and we're here to talk about the commerce of carnival. So I don't know if you know, but some carnivals in different parts of the world are generating billions of dollars. So right now we're creating opportunity where people are going to be able to come out and to learn. If you are interested in participating, definitely reach out the OFC. We have a promo code. I'll give it to you guys right now. But just go Montreal World Carnival, and when you go to purchase your tickets, your promo code is, drumroll please, OFC. Oh, wait, I lost it. OFC Summit. Punch in OFC Summit to get your promo. This is for members of the OFC and our supporters. OFC Summit is our promo code. So guys, take advantage. Looking forward to seeing you guys online. My other quick thing, I want to give a shout out. Long time I haven't spoken to my brethren, Brandon. Can you remember Brandon? Long time. Now, Brandon and I, long time friends. And 13 years ago, 14 years ago, before the OFC was actually became the OFC, Brandon had given me a spot in the back of his gym. And that is where the seed of the OFC was able to germinate and become what it is right now. Now, I bring up that story because this past week, I didn't bring up the top of the show because I was talking about other things, but this past week, I went and I picked up our OFC membership cards. Now, the reason I bring up Brandon and I bring up that whole origin story is because you guys are not going to believe this. When I go to pick up the cards are literally right next door to where the OFC was conceived. The whole concept was germinated and became what it is. When I tell you life has come one full circle, no pun intended, it, like, when I pulled up into that parking lot, because just to paint the picture, guys, where we were at the time had nothing. right? So Brandon and I used to stand outside or sit in our car and just kind of visualize things that we saw in the future and things that we wanted for our people and for our families. And I used to really project and put some things out there into the universe. So for me to come now, years later, to be standing in a building now that actually was just grass years ago, and to be picking up our member cards, it took me years to be able to even pull this deal together to be able to make this happen for our community. It was a very interesting thing, to say the least. So with that, I'm excited to announce that the OFC member cards are now on deck. We're going to be shipping them out as of November 20th. We're going to be hosting an event at the WeWork downtown, right across from the Bell Center. It's going to be for OFC members, our guests, our friends, our families and friends, for everybody to come and pick up your cards, to come and participate. So right there, it's a type of thing. We'll have some music. We have a DJ coming in from Toronto. Young Tish is coming down. We have DJ Blaster is going to be playing. And we're going to be giving out the cards to all the members. It's going to be a great networking opportunity. We have our partners coming in from Toronto. But the excitement is really everybody coming to pick up your cards. These cards give you guys discounts, that we've been working all kind of deals to get you guys these discounts. And the beauty is you get cash back. So now when you use the card to make purchases, you get money back, guys. Win, win, win. So I have to share that with you guys. OFC members, please reach out to make sure we have your information up to date for you to get your card. Check out OFClink.com. Make sure your profiles are up to date. If you need help getting them up to date, let us know. But we are using your OFC member profiles as the sign that your accounts are up to date and valid, and that's the information we're using to ship your cards out. All right, so those are my two big announcements for this week. And again, just sending you all love, always grateful to the ancestors, always grateful to life, always grateful to my family for the support that they give and the encouragement that they continue to give.
Man, sorry. Your shout outs was a whole other segment.
Yo, I'm like, yo, Gina, you have nothing? Nothing?
No, I forgot my shout outs. No disrespect, but I want to actually honestly shout out my Uncle Marlon, who's really just helping me like get back on my heel journey. Like, you know, these knees are acting like they're 80 and I'm not there yet. And so I really want to shout him out. He's my shout of the week. I'm not even going to lie. And it's on period.
I hear that. 100. Peace, love, and blessings, everyone.
Kings and queens, this was the OFC Podcast Radio with Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, Queen Kaya, and myself, Gina the Great. We're on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. Stay blessed and highly favored.
OFC Podcast Radio.